So here's verse 20. What evil spirits devour others even when they're not hungry? Okay. People in power who abuse those under them and consider them as worthless as grass. Yeah, true, isn't it? What evil spirits devour others even when they're not hungry? Okay, so people, even they're not hungry, they consume others with their powers. They destroy others. They eat them up by abusing their power. Okay, so it's interesting because this was written by the 7th Dalai Lama, who himself had a position of great power. You know, he was the political leader of the Tibetans. By the way, the Dalai Lama is, he was the political leader of the Tibetans. The Dalai Lama is not head of the Gelugpa tradition. Many people make that mistake. The Ganden Tripa is the head. Okay, so the Dalai Lama is, you could say, in general, the religious leader of Tibet and the political leader, or at least he was, but he resigned a few years ago. Yeah, and so now Tibet has a prime minister and they're running the government that way. It's interesting because it's the only group of people I know on the planet where the leader wants less power and the people want him to stay in power. You know, because before he resigned, they were saying, don't resign, don't resign. And he's saying, but I want to. You know, you need to be more democratic. Quite interesting. Yeah. But the 7th Dalai Lama at his time, you know, had the, you know, he was ruler over the, general ruler over Tibet. Tibet has never had a real centralized government. There were always like local kings and chieftains. But he had to kind of herd the cats so that they, you know, kind of stayed together in some way. And, you know, of course, the people in the Himalaya areas, in Mongolia, also respected him a lot. And also he held a lot of sway in the Manchu court in Beijing at that time. And so he was somebody who knew very well about the what could happen if somebody abuses power. And so, you know, I think made great efforts not to do that. We can really see in any kind of institutional structure, yeah, that, you know, that people need leadership, but they don't need domination. And sometimes the line between leadership and dictatorship or domination is not so clear, yeah? How do you lead without controlling, but then on the other hand, a leader has to have a certain amount of control. So it's really quite a sticky area. George, who was visiting us this weekend, he's the head of the central office for FPMT. And I was asking him, you know, a little bit about his strategy. And he said he sees his position as keeping everybody else happy. Yeah? And he told the people who are working in the office, I trust you to do your job, and I'm not going to breathe down your back. Yeah? And so far that's working quite well. You know, people are really rising to the occasion and doing their job. And so, you know, if you have the right people underneath who when you trust them, are trustworthy, it works as a really nice way. If you have somebody who's not so trustworthy, who's lazy and exiting right and exiting left, then, you know, that kind of thing isn't going to work. So it's difficult, you know, to be a leader in that way. But definitely, you know, abusing power is a whole other ball game. You know, that's when people, you know, threaten other people. For example, threaten to fire them, threaten to do this, threaten to do that. When people use their power to physically abuse others or sexually abuse others or emotionally abuse others, you know, those kinds of things people are becoming much more aware of in our society. Yeah, but it is like an evil spirit who's hungry, who devours people, who isn't hungry but devours people. Yeah, when power is abused, and it's so difficult to say where is that line where there's an abuse of power, because for one person, you know, what somebody is doing may be abuse of power, but for another person, it's not. Yeah, and this is what gets sticky sometimes in organizations. And it happens in Dharma centers too, you know. I mean, any organizations where you have human beings, this kind of stuff could potentially happen. Yeah. But it's really hard to say because people have different definitions of what it is. So how do you actually discern, you know, where is that line and what you label something? Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a lot of discussion actually in the press about this whole thing, and people have very different definitions. And this is can be sometimes the source of a lot of confusion, a lot of difficulty. Mm-hmm. And also, like, for example, with the Tibetans, the way they have their organizational structure is very different than a Western organizational structure. So what we might consider an abuse of power, they would not, because it's perfectly legit, you know, in the way they run things. In Tibetan society, or in at least the monasteries, you usually have somebody at the top and everybody else down here. And you see this structure in Dharma centers a lot. You know, the teacher and then everybody here. And everybody only listens to the teacher. Yeah, they'll only do something if the teacher tells them to do it. And so thus they never learn to work this way, you know, cooperatively. And then when the teacher's not there, they don't know what to do. But it's also an open door for the teacher to abuse power, because people will not work together, they'll only listen to the teacher. So that opens the door for the teacher to say this, that, the other thing. That could be really, really dangerous. Yeah. And so that's why students need to learn how to work together and cooperate with each other, you know. Right.
But sometimes they have leaders, teacher that was not really practicing, and that's what's misleading.
Right. Yeah, so that's a good point, that people would trust the teachers, assuming that they practice a lot and the teachers would guide people wisely. So sometimes you have teachers that aren't practicing so well, and then you have an abuse of power. You know, that can happen. Or sometimes you can have a teacher that's not practicing well, but still has a very strong ethic and good leadership qualities. Okay? And you can have teachers that practice well, but because they grew up in a different society, what constitutes, you know, abuse is very, very different. Yeah?
And you can have students or workers underneath something like that and not trust the motivation of that person and be sensitive can lead the whole organization away from a leader with a good heart also.
Yeah. Okay, so you have things here. First of all, you could have people, the students, who don't trust the teacher, and then, you know, in the name of democracy, take the organization and take Dharma really in a very steep decline, because they think their wisdom is better than the teacher's. But you can also have students that imbue the teacher with so much power that the students enable the teacher to abuse power. Yeah? Or students that just keep quiet about things that aren't so good. Yeah, so it's quite a sticky area. Yeah, but it's something that it's good for us to be aware of, and to be aware of, you know, cultural issues in this, and, you know, the whole nine yards.
And everybody has a responsibility. That's the important thing.
Yeah, that everybody has a responsibility. And how people act out their responsibility is going to be different in different cultures and different situations. But yes, I think very, very definitely everybody has a responsibility. What came out in some, in the 90s especially, when there was a lot of abuse of power in Buddhist centers in the West, is that very often the students enabled the whole thing to happen. Especially, you know, if you invite a teacher from another culture and they're alone, you know, and they may or may not speak the language of the host country, they have no support, you know, and they have none of their peers who know what's going on. And yet Dharma centers don't want to bring a whole lot of monastics over together because it's quite costly. Yeah. But then you have the teacher alone without peers and without a support structure too. So that can be dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, so you get all sorts of different combinations in this whole thing.
So the moral of the story is to practice well.
Yeah, the moral is to practice well. And be responsible. Yeah. So followers have responsibilities, leaders have responsibilities. Yeah. And to keep on top of this kind of thing. Okay. Were there any more questions?
What is the motivation for these words?
Yeah, the motivation, of course, is like the central thing.
It seems like how anybody acts out the responsibilities they're given can end up being an abuse of power too.
I'm sorry.
Even on lower levels, how someone acts out the responsibility they're given could end up being an abuse of power if they say, oh, I'm the one that's supposed to be approved.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, people on the lower levels can abuse power too. Yeah, that's a good point.